Is President Trump a racist? He's often accused of being such. We're going to talk about this right now with Bishop E.W. Jackson, an African American. His website is standamerica.us. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Vocal Point. And Bishop Jackson, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, Jerry, thank you for inviting me. It's a pleasure.
Sure. Okay, recently there was the incident where Jussie Smollett, a gentleman I've never even heard of, who apparently is a gay African-American actor, and he claimed that he was attacked in Chicago and claimed that it was quote-unquote MAGA country, or that's what the attackers allegedly said to him, meaning make America great again. In other words, this was Trump company. Country. Of course, I had one recent guest who's from Chicago, and he says, I don't know anybody from Chicago. I said, I think I'm the only one in Chicago who voted for Trump.
Right.
So anyway, but the media seemed to love that story because it fit the narrative. And then when it turned out to be, maybe it's not so true after all, then it kind of went on the back page. Your comments?
Well, first of all, you know, Jerry, I really believe this, that it goes deeper than hatred for President Trump, although President Trump is the target right now. But I think, unfortunately, the left has decided that they really don't like America, that America is a place that is racist and homophobic and xenophobic and Islamophobic and bigoted and hateful. And therefore, any time there is an accusation that fits that narrative, the mainstream media jumps on it, because it's not only proof that President Trump is all these things, it's proof that America's all these things, and he well represents a racist country, you see, because he allegedly is a racist too. And I think Americans need to be very, very concerned about this, because I think this is going to continue well after President Trump's presidency, because it's America that they want to fundamentally transform, and he just happens to be the target right now that's standing in the way.
Hmm. Okay. Any specifics, though, about the Jussie Smollett case itself?
Well, look, I mean, it's obvious that the man was lying. And I think a lot of people had questions about it. First of all, it was 20 degrees below zero that night. The idea that somebody meets him in the middle of the night, I think it was at 2 or 3 a.m. in the morning, and somebody's out there talking about this MAGA country. The whole thing smelled fishy. And of course, now that these two Nigerian gentlemen, I think they're Americans, but they're from Nigeria, or their parents are, that's their ancestry. I think they've indicated that. So that means they're black, obviously.
Yeah.
And so now that all of this has been exposed, I mean, it's quite obvious what he was doing. He was trying not only to benefit himself, surely, maybe financially and otherwise, but I think that he was also trying to make himself a hero, the darling of the left, the victim, the black gay guy who gets attacked by the racist Donald Trump and his followers. And wow, what a hero he is. And, you know, turn him into another pseudo icon. So unfortunately, it blew up in his face because, you know, the truth ultimately gets revealed at some point. And thank God it happened sooner rather than later in this case.
You know, it's so interesting, Bishop, in the sense that Donald Trump was well known to Americans, has been well known to Americans long before he came down that escalator in the summer of 2015 and said, I'm going to throw my hat in to run for president of the United States as a Republican. He was well known and in all these different business dealings. Was there ever any accusation made, let's say from a former black employee who said, this man treats people of color badly? I mean, I wasn't aware of any even remote accusation. Were you?
No, and I think that the accusations that President Trump is racist are preposterous. In fact, I heard an MSNBC anchor say, well, the debate is over. Clearly, he's a racist. And I've heard that accusation again and again and again. There's only one thing I've never heard. I've never heard evidence, because he's got friends. He's got people who have worked for him for years who love the man and believe that he's a decent, honorable human being. He's not perfect any more than I am or you are or anybody listening is. But but he's a decent, honorable human being who has treated people well. Remember, he gave money to Al Sharpton. He gave money to Jesse Jackson. He said he gave money to all the politicians, Democrats, Republicans. They weren't calling him racist then when Democrats were picking up those checks. So, yeah, I think this is just a way of, again, trying to marginalize him and trying to stop him by smearing his character because, frankly, they really don't have an argument against his policies. And they don't have any evidence, by the way, of racism. All they have is just a statement here and there that they've interpreted as indicating that he's racist. But they've decided that the debate is over. And believe me, the debate hadn't even started yet because President Trump, I believe, is going to prove to be one of the greatest presidents we've ever had for every American, regardless of skin color.
Well, now, you are black. You're swimming against the tide, though, it seems to me, from what I can tell in terms of people making assessments about Trump.
Well, that's true, because remember, we've got a long history of the Democrat Party having indoctrinated a lot of people into believing that conservatives and Republicans are haters and bigots, and the Democrat Party, which in my view is really the most insidious source of racism in our culture today because they're condescending, they're paternalistic, they act like they own the thinking of black people and that you've got to think the way they want you to think or you're not authentically black. That, to me, is as racist as anything that a slave master would have thought about black people, that they have to think exactly the way he tells them to think and behave exactly the way he tells them to behave. And that's where the left is right now. And so as far as I'm concerned, you know, this is a case of the pot calling the kettle black, because they are the ones who are constantly stoking racism and, frankly, in my view, constantly treating people that way. But people like me, and I was with Candace Owens last night, and all over the country, conservatives, black conservatives are rising up, and our voices are being heard and felt. And I really believe, Jerry, it's a slow drip right now, but I really believe that something is happening in the black community. There is a transformation coming and a liberation from this rigid leftist ideology that they have been kept captive in. And I think it's going to shock the world as it begins to happen, as that leak turns into a deluge.
Wow. Do you happen to know offhand what percentage of blacks or African Americans that President Trump received as far as the votes in the 2016 election? Just offhand, roughly.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure I know those numbers. I think it was 13% of men, 8% of women. And people were shocked that he got the significant vote he got from black men. But here again, I think black men were looking at this guy saying, wait a minute, he wants to stop illegal immigrants from coming into the country. They're taking jobs, startup jobs, that black youth need, that black men need. I think they looked at Donald Trump and said, this guy wants to bring money back into the country that can be used to start jobs. And they didn't get caught up in all the feminist ideological hype, and they voted for him in larger numbers than were expected. And I predict he's going to get an even larger vote in 2020 than he got in 2016, significantly larger in both camps.
Well, it's interesting that he likes to tout the fact that apparently under his leadership, the level of jobs, the level of unemployment, the jobs have gone up. Unemployment has gone way down, including for African Americans. In fact, the best record ever, apparently, since they've been keeping records as far as that goes.
And, you know, what the black community needs is not more rhetoric and finger pointing at all the racist, real, or in most cases imagined. What they need are jobs. What they need is quality education. What they need is safety in their streets and in their communities. What they need is the ability for their children to go back and forth to school without being afraid of being caught in crossfire. Mm. What they don't need is a bunch of liberal condescension that tells them all their problems are the result of some imagined racist that is out to get them. And what we're telling them, what black conservatives are telling them, is guess what? Those people always warning you about the racists, they're the biggest racists you need to worry about, because they're the ones who want to keep your children locked in these failing schools, keep you locked in these violent communities where there's gang warfare and upheaval, and you're afraid of your kids being on the street at night, and keep you locked in a welfare system that doesn't allow you to ever prosper. It just keeps you on subsistence. And the president has a message of prosperity for every American, and that's what we black conservatives have been preaching for, my goodness gracious, since Booker T. Washington, frankly. But I think finally we're beginning to get an audience, and I think this president, in spite of what they say about him, is going to wake a lot of people up and open the eyes of a lot of black folks and Hispanics in this country.
By the way, just a real quick aside, you mentioned Booker T. Washington. I think every American should read Up from Slavery by Booker T. Washington. His is a story that's so encouraging. It's like, wow, if this guy can make it, anybody can make it. And he did make it. And he was the first black to speak at Harvard. And he's a real hero. But, you know, today he's kind of a politically incorrect hero, maybe even almost labeled as a I wouldn't say that he's labeled as an Uncle Tom, but I would say he's ignored, whereas more liberal ones, more radical ones, are held up as heroes. Am I wrong?
Oh, no, Jerry. I think you're understating it. I think Booker T. Washington, at least from the left's perspective, is viewed as an Uncle Tom, an accommodationist, somebody who is really a traitor to the black community.
Why?
Because he said the same thing black conservatives have been saying for generations. Look, you cannot wait for somebody else to do something or change something in order for you to make progress in life. You've got to, as he said, set down your buckets where you are. You've got to make up your mind that, and this is the way I was taught, Jerry, growing up. My father never taught me, gee, son, I'd like to see you succeed, but, you know, the white man won't let you. My father told me, son, there are going to be obstacles in life. You go over them, under them, around them, through them, but don't let anybody stop you from achieving the goals that you want to achieve in life. And that's the message that the black community needs to hear, not the message of victimization, and they won't let you, and you can't, and the society is so racist that a black person can't make it. And all of this failure rhetoric and demagoguery that only serves to keep people exactly where they want them. Look, Jerry, they've got a Democrat machine, and you can't have a machine if you don't have people who are locked in an enclave over which you have control. I mean, so this stuff is extremely political, and it's exactly what they want. They don't care about black folks, these leftists don't. They care about power, and black people are part of their key to power, which also means that if you ever break the stronghold that they have over the black community, wow, you destroy their coalition.
Wow, that's interesting. Now, I'll bet you if I were talking to a friend, and somebody real liberal, let's say, and I said, you know, I don't think Donald Trump is the racist you make him out to be, he would fling one bird back to me. That word is Charlottesville. Your thoughts?
Oh, my goodness. Which is, again, utterly preposterous. Jerry, I went to Charlottesville and gave a major speech on race in Charlottesville while I was running for U.S. Senate. I said the same thing the president said. Look, Antifa is nothing but a bunch of racists. They vilify white people. What is the difference between vilifying white people and vilifying black people? We shouldn't be vilifying people on the basis of their skin color. We should be looking at individuals on the basis of their own personal merit, their character, their competence.
All right, so wait, let me get this straight. You're saying Antifa would disagree with Martin Luther King Jr.?
Oh, I believe they would. Oh, yeah, I think the left has long since left him. Oh, yeah, they're gone. They've left him. This idea that we judge people by the content of their character, not the color of their skin. Oh, no, no. I think the left has long since left that and said, no, no, no. Skin color is the most important issue, maybe second only to gender, which is rising very rapidly with the Me Too movement and all this stuff. I think they've left that. That principle is dead in the minds of the left.
All right. Well, we have 25 seconds left. Wrap things up here for us.
Well, look, the most important thing we need to do is call everybody back to God, because I believe He helped us found this country. And God is the one who's given us the vision of one nation under God. And that's, Jerry, how you have indivisible ability, liberty, and justice for all. You can't do it without God, but we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us.
Amen. All right. And your website, again, is standamerica.us. Thank you,
that's it.
Bishop Jackson. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry.